Welcome to Never Overnight, where the focus is the struggle, the success, and the story in between. My name is Binod Jacob, and I'm your host. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and share with your friends by searching Never Overnight wherever you stream your podcast from. Today's conversation is with film director and executive producer Jens Jacob, and it took place in November of 2019. Since this podcast is about storytelling and motivation, I believe the lessons you learn here are timeless, regardless of when the conversation took place. So Jens, like myself, made the move from Florida to California. His career path is filled with hustle, and he made a dream of his come true when his movie called The Heart of Man ended up playing in his hometown theater. Jens has experienced struggle, success, and this is his story.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm great. You know what? First, kudos to us because we're both from Florida and we made the move to LA.
Come on, man. A couple FL boys.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, you being Central Florida, me being South Florida. I never thought I'd move to LA, but, you know.
There's got to be something in the water in Florida because
There's a few of us.
I was thinking the same thing the other day when we were all in New York together. I was like,
yeah.
Wow. Like, there's like a few of us that made that leap from Florida to LA.
Yeah.
And pursued some passion or dream. So I was like, wow, like what's that thread? Is there something in the water? Or?
I mean, maybe it's a thing where we just got, like, we all saw that we were in comfort zones in some sense.
Or maybe Florida was just so terrible.
I'm trying to be optimistic. It's a good thing you...
And it just motivated us so much more. I was like, this is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. You being a producer, you have been through a long journey full of ups and downs. And... did you always know that you wanted to be a producer or to where you are now? Like, you know how sometimes going through childhood, like some people just have raw talents and sometimes it's just something that clicks. Other times, like, you go through a lot of different things to find out what you're good at. For you, what was it?
I wasn't allowed to watch movies when I was a young kid. Grew up in a very conservative house where I wasn't allowed to watch movies, go to theaters or anything like that. And so I would have to sneak into a cousin's house or something to like watch movies. So I don't think it ever was like a career path for me or anything. I think it really just started when I was like a young kid and would just dabble into different things like photography, graphic design, just kind of went through like different creative mediums. And I don't even know if I considered myself a creative back then either. I would say that I loved learning visually. So it started out with drawing, then it led into graphic design, and it then led into photography and then video and so on. It kind of was just like stepping stones to each. I would find something amazing about one industry, learn as much as I could about it, and then learn or become more of an expert in that particular field. I would almost use that as a way to like swing on the next vine. All of those different skill sets and things that I learned kind of pushed me towards film as the place that I ended up with. I don't know if I ever started there. It just ended up there because of that.
So did you have a moment where you thought this could actually be a long-term plan for me?
I don't know if I saw it as a career at first. I saw it as a side hustle.
Okay, got it.
Mainly because at the time I was still in school and I was told that, as probably every Indian kid is, where you're told certain verticals you're allowed to play in as far as career goes. So I think because of that, this didn't fit one of those verticals. And so it became a side hustle because I just didn't feel like my parents would let me let it be a full hustle. It also became a side hustle, I think, because the first time I think I got paid for it was, I don't share this a lot, but I used to do party promotion videos for like college parties.
Okay.
And I think that was like one of my first things that somebody gave me money for an edit to compile like this video together. The first time I think I made money off of it was doing that.
Were you shocked when you got that first check?
Yeah, it was so big. You know, I don't know if I was shocked. I think I had felt like I reached a place where I could start charging for it. And I just took a gamble and I was like, hey, yeah, give me $200 and I'll do the video. So we're not talking about like some crazy number. Mm-hmm. It just kind of started from there. Like I started putting value to the product that we were making.
When you were growing up, you mentioned how you weren't allowed to watch movies. Because you were not allowed to do it, made you want to do it even more.
I think so. I question that a lot for my own journey is, would I be doing any of it now?
Yeah.
If my parents supported it.
Which, right.
Yeah. Such a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
I would hope so. If yeah. I'm being, yeah. But just to be honest, I would have to think that that played a part into driving me towards it. Like, it's like the forbidden fruit. You just yes. are told you can't have it and you want it more. Yeah. It's like, why? Why can't I have it?
Exactly.
You know, it's more of an ego thing than anything.
So because I said so never worked in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you took every no as a why not.
Exactly. I think that's what drove me. It's like, what do you mean? Like, why can't I do that? I think a lot of that did drive me for sure.
How many years were you involved in doing production in Florida before you decided to take a leap of faith to California?
It wasn't that long. I think it was maybe 2 years.
Okay.
I had a business prior where we would do audiovisual.
I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah. That was like the main hustle at the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I started working for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is the hockey team. Started out as like an internship there and would do all the in-house graphics. And then I went into ESPN working just as like gaffer, cameraman, like all of that. It was like simple. Like, I think when people hear ESPN, they think some big thing, but we were doing small like interviews between coaches and players, so it wasn't anything huge. It seemed like most of my experience in Florida, or at least when I started out professionally, was sports. Unprofessionally was party promotion. That was kind of all that I was doing there. I was like, oh, there's got to be something more. And you know, so then it was just like, oh, you got to move to one of the major markets. This is what I thought to myself. Got it. You got to go to Miami, New York, or LA. Miami felt too close to home. New York also felt too comfortable because I had family still out there. So, and I chose LA because it was the hardest, because it was the furthest away. And I knew if I went there, I had no excuse.
So what inspired you to then move to LA was because you did not want to be comfortable at all?
I think that was part of it. I think it's multifaceted. I felt something call me to LA. I also knew that it was like the place for filmmaking. All the Hollywood studios are here. Everything is birthed out of here. All the decision making is here. And then I think a third part of it was that it was the furthest away. Yeah, it was kind of multifaceted, but definitely had a role to play in it. Yeah.
For me, because I did radio 2 years in Miami before I wanted to also make the move to LA, right? And it was kind of the same reasoning too. And in my head, I figured the only way that I was going to fail in life was if I did not try at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I'm essentially going to start from scratch, and whatever happens is going to happen.
I think that's it for me too. I think we think alike in that sense. And I think to most people is that they feel like they need something there and aligned, or some like for sure thing to make the jump. But if it's already for sure, it's not taking any kind of leap of faith.
Right.
And I think there's this idea that like your hard work and faith need to meet in the middle, where it's got to like, it's got to be somewhat of a you jump and then faith meets you there, versus it's already there and then you're jumping on.
You're not really jumping. You're just,
you're walking,
you're
or
just
whatever.
Taking a power walk.
Right? Yeah. Slow stroll.
Up until the time that you took that leap of faith, did you have a lot of doubt, and did that doubt drive you?
You know, I think when I was younger, I don't know if I doubted myself as much as I probably do now. And I think
you doubt yourself now more.
I think so. I think when you go through the ringer of whatever it may be, I'm not saying that the doubt comes with any kind of lack of confidence or ability. I think there's a less fear that I had when I was younger than I do now. Maybe that's what I'm thinking, not doubt.
Okay.
When I was younger, I had less to lose.
All right. So there's because more pressure of
that,
now.
Yeah, there's more pressure now.
Okay, got it.
When I was younger, you know, the world is just in your hands and you feel like you could do whatever you want. And
the world is your oyster.
Yeah. And I think I had ambition in that way, where I was just like, I'm going to figure it out. Of course, like, you doubt your own talent or ability. And I think I contradicted a lot of that doubt by making sure I did whatever I could wherever I was at. I think most people think I have to make the move first and then I'll gain the confidence or whatever. I was hustling in Florida. I didn't start hustling when I moved to LA.
Right.
And I think some people think like, oh, it only comes after. Like, no. Like, that made me hustle more.
Right.
But I was already doing it wherever I was. So I think I felt like I had that in me. So if I knew anything, it was how to hustle. If film went to crap tomorrow, I would go into radio, or I would go into, I'm not going to take your job, I promise. I would go into like whatever it is, like music or sports or whatever it is. I know that the skill sets that I've aligned myself with and acquired over the years in producing or even in doing film will allow me to do whatever. And that really did start when I was younger. It's not something that I just learned yesterday. So I don't know fully where that came from, other than I would have side hustles and businesses when I was younger. Ever since I was 16, like, you know, I was the kid, I would go to the dollar store, buy candies for $1 and sell it for $2 at lunch. In high school, you know how you get like t-shirts for like your graduating class? Mm-hmm. In high school, I was so fed up with what our school t-shirts look like because they were so cheesy. And so I was like, screw this. I'm going to go design my own shirt and figure out how to make it. Right. So I designed the shirt all in Photoshop. Printed it out. On the back of it, I put a small order form. I had nothing. So I don't know why these kids gave me the money, but they all started filling it. So I would go to class in the morning and then pass it to the desk behind me and then tell them to pass it, keep passing it back. And so they would look at it. They kind of visually understood what I was doing. They would sign and give, either they would give me the money then or just soft commit the money that they were interested. And I had about 250 orders by the end of that week. And that I even got in trouble for it. That fear, or, you know, that it didn't really cross me when I was younger as much as it probably does, or doubt. It was just because I would find ways that was calculated risks to accomplish something.
Whereas now, what you said, you have more. I don't know if the word is doubt, but whatever it is, that you have more of it now, and just because the pressure is a lot. So is that an anxiety that you have?
You know, I don't know if I wouldn't really call it anxious, but it is something that, you know, the higher you climb, the harder the fall.
Yeah.
And I would be a liar if I didn't say that that was something that is fearful for me now more than it was back then, because you're not talking about just me. Now you're talking about my team, my community, all of these things that I'm essentially potentially like letting down or failing as well.
What year did you move to LA?
I moved to LA in 2011.
What's your view of LA?
Ooh, I have a love-hate with relationship with LA.
Why is that?
Hate's a strong word. I have a love-dislike relationship with LA, 80% love. LA is the whole reason why I'm able to do any of what I'm able to do right now. It's such a melting pot of, not even from a standpoint of diversity, but more so from the standpoint of, it's a melting pot of people with different backgrounds that are all hustling to do something, whether that's business, whether that's restaurant, whether that's acting, music, art, whatever it is, people have some sort of drive, and they're mostly all coming from a place that they felt misunderstood or not accepted for the way that they wanted to do something, is what I personally believe. And so you come to this place where dreams happen. And what's amazing about that is you meet like us, like I mean, we knew each other in Florida, but like you meet like-minded people, and it doesn't even have to be in the same industry.
Yeah.
You're hustling in your industry, I'm hustling in my industry. And I think that's a vibe. I think that's something that's an energy mm-hmm. that is contagious. And you can go down to a restaurant and the bartender, talk to them for like 4 minutes and you'll find out that they're probably wanting to start their own bar. You know, so I love that. I love particularly everybody's journey, how they got to LA, because that's almost 50% of it is coming here. Not many people understand the struggle of the leap of faith to even come here and then just stay here for more than a year or two.
Right.
That's huge in itself. So I'm always intrigued by what people are doing, why people are doing, and how they got there. That's the thing that I thrive off of here. But then I've also seen other people thrive. And then when I see somebody else succeed, it's like, oh, that's obtainable. I got to a place where, like, I think like year three or four, there was people that I worked with or people that I was friends with that were winning Oscars. And that just blew my mind away. Like, this is obtainable. So again, I don't know if you could do that anywhere else other than LA. what do I dislike about LA?
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
I think it's a catch 22. I think it's the same reasons I love LA is the same reasons I dislike LA. I think with that goal-driven mentalities, I think there's just an unhealthy side to it. I think there's a shadow side to everything if you go too far. And the shadow side of this is I think it's really difficult to build community in LA. A friend of mine once told me that moved here recently, he said, LA people aren't flaky. They're opportunistic. And what ends up happening is everybody's just filling it with other opportunities that are trying to get them ahead. I don't think I knew what loneliness was until I moved to LA.
Yeah.
And LA just has this perfect hodgepodge for that equation for loneliness, I think. And I think that's the shadow side to me. I think there's so many lonely people in LA. I think there's so many insecure people in LA. I think there's so many people dealing with things that nobody ever knows about in LA. And it's an unfortunate truth of LA.
You've been doing filmmaking all these years. Is the goal to win a, have you won an Oscar?
No.
Is the goal to win an Oscar?
You know, I don't know if it is. Let's call it a dream. Goals are attainable. Dreams are the things that, like, is it a dream to win an Oscar? I don't know. My dream always, in when I first saw, not even when I first saw a movie, I remember one time watching a movie and I saw credits and I saw people's names and all the different people's names. I had this weird thought. And as a kid, I would try to figure out, like, how do you live forever? How do you immortalize? And I came to this point where I realized, oh, most people live on through their name. You live as long as the last person that repeats your name, essentially. And I remember watching movie credits and seeing people's names, like, oh man, these people live forever. So I think my dream was always to get a movie into theaters. That was my ultimate dream. If I could do that, then I would be quote unquote successful or something. And then I realized that dream 2 years ago.
Yes.
Our last film made it into theaters. Yes. And not even just, like, you know, a theater here or there. We were in 600 theaters all across the U.S.
The Heart of Man.
The Heart of Man. Yeah. And it even played in my hometown theater, where I remember getting the photo from all my cousins that they were at the theater. And that's the theater that ever since I was allowed to start watching movies or sneak, whenever I would go sneak into movie, like, it was that theater. And then my movie was playing at that theater.
Yeah.
So that to me was everything. I fully realized any dream that I had in the filmmaking industry in that moment. So anything from here is like gravy.
It's your movie that made it to your hometown theater. What was the first emotion that you felt when you...
You know, I'm terrible at emotions. I don't emote very well. It's overwhelming to see a vision, a God-given vision, kind of come to fulfillment. You know, small town Indian boy from Brandon, Florida. Like, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I can't take credit for it. It was so big that I couldn't achieve it on my own.
And Heart of Man being a great film that a lot of people have watched, what inspired you to create that?
You know, I can't take the credit for that one. A friend of ours, Tony Anderson, he was the composer on the film, but he also was an executive producer and concepted the film. It was something that he started as anti-sex trafficking documentary back in 2013, I think, or somewhere along the lines of that. And we only came on midway through the film when they were about to shoot the narrative part of the film. And just, I didn't even think I was going to get involved in the way that I did. At first it was, hey, I believe in you. I love what you're doing. This is such an amazing message that affected me. I'm sure it affects other people. However I can help. So it started off like, you need cameras, whatever. Like, I've got cameras. I've got people, like, whatever you need. And then it just kind of progressed where to the point where I think it's just they couldn't get rid of me. And I was just getting more and more involved, and then ended up becoming, like, yeah, one of the main producers on it. And our company got behind it fully. We invested in it, everything.
You mentioned before how you have a few different ambitions outside of film. Like, filmmaking is still going to be what you do, but you also have some ambitions outside of that. Are you allowed to talk about that in terms of other things that you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, entrepreneurship has been like the big overarching goal for me. I think filmmaking, or at least producing in filmmaking, has become the perfect marriage of entrepreneurship and creativity. I think that's been more so my gifting, or my ability has been believing in something or somebody and finding a way to create a business around it and make it bigger. And I just love creating. It doesn't matter what it is. And I think creating sometimes, or creativity, often gets defined as the thing that you see visually, or the thing that you hear sonically. There's predetermined things of what creativity should be. It should be like music, art, and film, things around that. But creativity to me is just the art of creating, but bringing something into existence. This iPhone is creative because somebody created it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's what it is for me. Like, I want to create. If you ask me what now, I couldn't tell you, because it just kind of comes and goes. And I believe that all ideas kind of are in this cloud, if you will. Mm-hmm. I think everybody gets them. Everybody like looks on TV or like sees that thing passing by and it's like, oh, I thought about this before and never did anything about it.
Yeah.
And the difference is you did nothing about it.
Got it.
And I think that's, to me, so I don't think I'm more creative than anybody. I think everybody is creative. And then it's about, what are you doing about it? And I think in anything, creating needs to come out of a need. If there's not a need for it, then you're creating pointlessly. If you ask me what drives me to create, or what drives me to do, it's this idea that I can make a dent in the universe. Mm. That my actions somehow could have an effect. A prayer that we would always say is like the Lord's Prayer. It's like this idea that you can affect something on earth as it is in heaven. When I think heaven, I think universe. So it's this idea that like you could do something that wouldn't just affect you, but could actually affect what like the heavenly or the universe could look like. And that always kind of blew my mind a little bit. Like, that's how big our ripples could be. Whether that's like a conversation you're having with one person, or creating an iPhone that's in everybody's pocket, there are things that you could do that can make a dent in the universe. And I think that's what it is for me. I want to make a dent in the universe in whatever way that looks like.
My next question was, you know, what do you want your legacy to be? But I think you just answered that already.
Yeah. I want to leave the world better than I entered it. And I think that's what I love about film. Film and entertainment has that ability. And I think I get excited about storytelling because of that, because sometimes you can affect change more effectively in storytelling. You may be trying to drive home a point to me, or create some sort of bill or a political thing. And if that person doesn't understand, it kind of just goes over their heads and it doesn't do anything. But if I tell you a story, you might understand a perspective that you never understood before. You might understand a new concept or something new. That ability to change and even somehow shape somebody's life through a story that you hear, I think is so powerful.
This last part, and this I think is the biggest part of the podcast, and what that is that what I like to call as the speech, right? So what would be your speech or your message to the current generation or the next generation in terms of advice or what to do to accomplish your greatest potential?
I think the biggest thing is, don't let fear stop you. I think that's the thing that crumbles, and you're your worst enemy sometimes when it comes to that, because it's always here, and we all have it on different levels based on our experiences and our past. And I think whatever you're thinking, it's an exercise that I recently started doing with people, is say it out loud and hear how funny it actually is. Tell somebody, ask somebody whatever it is that's stopping them or why they're afraid, and have them say it out loud and see what the worst case is. Are you going to die? What is it? What is the actual fear? Use that fear as fuel. Don't use it as something that cripples you.
Well, Jens, that's all I got. How does it feel to open up in therapy?
Do I send you the bill or do you send me a bill?
Oh, man. Jens, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Hey, my honor. Thank you so much, Minaj. It's been a pleasure.
Since my conversation with Jens, he founded a software company called Saturation in October 2022. If you're a fan of this podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and share it with your friends by searching Never Overnight wherever you stream your podcast from. Thank you to Jens for sharing his story, and thank you for listening.